Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our village board meeting. Would you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if all the village trustees would look at Mr. Lang and smile.
Like a Cheshire cat smile?
Thank you.
Do you need one of me alone?
He'll just airbrush you out of there.
Photoshop me right out.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful summer day. We'll call our meeting to order. Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
All present and accounted for. Is there a motion to modify or adopt the agenda as presented? Do you need to change anything?
Move to approve as presented.
Thank you. Second by Trustee Dart. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Agenda item number 3, Spirit of Christmas Past at Heritage Hill. You don't want to miss Saturdays, December 9th and 16th, from 12 to 6 at Heritage Hill, the Spirit of Christmas Past. It's a time to celebrate and learn about the development of Christmas, when it became an American tradition, and how it would have been celebrated during different periods of Wisconsin's early history at Heritage Hill. Adults $11, seniors $10. Children 3 and up, $8, under 3, free. Heritage Hill members free for travel level and above. There are also from 1 to 4 wagon rides for $2 per person. Autism of Northeast Wisconsin. Mr. Clark, would you like to tell us about this great event?
This is an annual run walk that the Autism Society of Northeast Wisconsin holds at Green Isle Park and East River Drive in that area along the East River Trail as well. They're holding that event September 15th, 2018. They got their reservation or their application in nice and early this year. So, but like I said, this is a reoccurring event that they hold annually.
Great. Thank you. Another announcement is that if you have a dog and need to get it licensed, dog licenses are for next year are ready for purchase here at Village Hall. Mr. Lang.
Yes, excuse me. One other announcement. The Miramar District has been approved for the nomination to the State Registry of Historic Places. And from here, it will go on to the National Park Service for potential consideration under the National Registry.
Very nice. Judy's smiling.
I turn cartwheels, but I can't.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Mr. Byrne.
Two things. One is we did complete fall leaf collection. We completed it essentially today. We collected about 1,700 bales, which is about normal for a fall leaf collection. So we're completed on that. The second item, just an update on the Riverside Drive South crossing, pedestrian crossing. The underground work has been completed. Concrete is poured, foundations, the boring under the road, the sidewalk replacement, curb ramps, and so forth are all installed. Tomorrow the landscaping will be restored. And about 2 weeks from now, the overhead structures will be installed. So it could very well be lit up before Christmas. So staff thought that if that's the case, we might even go out there and hang some tinsel on it to make it look nice just for Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
That'd be special.
Great. Thank you. Very good news. Any other announcements from staff? Any announcements from the board? Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item number 4, public appearances. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak tonight on something that is not on this evening's agenda? Come on up. Please.
This is really intimidating.
Wait till you get started.
My name is Stacy Ross, and I've been living in Alloway for almost 20 years now.
Stacy, could you give us your address, please?
Sure. It's 336 Dolphin Street.
Thank you.
I am actually requesting a special permit to have bees in my backyard. I've been keeping bees for 3 years. For the first 2 years, I kept them in Ledgeview at a friend's house. And this past year, I moved my hives up to, or actually down to Brilliant. I work for Bellin, but I'm an employer clinic nurse in Aaron's company, and they happen to keep bees there. And a gentleman who's been doing it for 40 years maintains the hive, so I had the opportunity to work with him. And so I've kept my hives there, and I still want to keep them there because I'm learning oodles and oodles of information from him. He's incredible. But I'd also like to keep them in my backyard so I can benefit from that as well. I keep a garden, and I'd really like to be able to do that. And the other part that is really sad is we've had a lot of bee loss again this year. We had one company, I think it's called Honey Bee Farms, had 7,500 hives. They are now down to 1,300. They will not be able to send any hives to, they usually send them to California for the almond season, and they will not be able to do that. The gentleman that I work with, he lost 25% of his hives, I think, and then I was just talking to the Honeybee Ware company, which they sell supplies and stuff, and they had 50 hives, and I think they're down to 15. So I just wanted just kind of keep supporting the hives, and I just wanted to request special permission to do that. I did contact Milwaukee because the city of Milwaukee allows hives, and I asked, I called and just asked some questions about that. And the young lady that I spoke with said they've been doing this, I think, I cannot remember if it's 2007 or 2010, they've been allowing the public to do that. And they said they have about 50 people who participate, that's individuals and companies. And I asked if they've ever had any issues or complications with that, and she said the only problem they've ever had are people who didn't, people would get angry if they didn't get the permit, the special permits. But other than that, they've never had any problems.
Okay. And you're aware that we have you can keep bees in our parks.
Absolutely, and okay. I think it's fabulous, and I'm really grateful for the work that you guys have already done. The problem for me is I'm super busy, and I want to be able to just walk in my backyard. And not only that, sometimes, like, just different times of the day when you walk out, you see different things. So, like, in the morning when they start coming out, that's one of the reasons why we found the problem that we did with our hives and were able to fix it was because we saw bees unnaturally being out in front of their hives and not flying. And so we were able to treat quickly, and so we're hoping we're going to save our hives because we were able to kind of get a jump start on it. But those are kind of things that you don't get to see if you have them off site. And I'm swamped, busy with 5 kids, so I want them in my backyard. And my daughter helps, and she can't go down to Brilliant with me because I do it right after work, so she doesn't get to participate in that either. So.
So, to get an exception, we would need to make an exception to the ordinance or change the ordinance?
Well, that's one of the things. This was the first year that we actually had anyone keep the hives. No complaints from anybody. I need to follow up with them to see how successful they were. Did they lose anything? Did they lose any of the hives? But it would be something that we would probably want to look at changing the ordinance if that's the direction the board would like to go. If you start granting exceptions, how do you, it's either all for one or one.
And that was our intent.
Correct.
Yes.
To start slow.
This sounds to me a lot like chickens. We started small and yeah, so.
Okay, well, we can't take any action on it tonight.
That's okay.
But we can ask staff to take a look at that, see what changes to the ordinance they would recommend, and then have it come back, and you'd have another chance to come talk to us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Can I ask one question?
Yes.
Why are they losing their hives?
Well, there's some different thought processes. At first, they thought it was a new pesticide that was released, but now they're pretty determined that it's mites. The mites are really, really bad, and I was explaining to Jim that what we think is happening is the mite treatments, it's kind of like head lice. Like, after all this time, the mites just aren't as affected by the treatments as they were. And the gentleman, Craig, that I work with, he said he's never seen the mites, like, creep up so quickly. And the company, Honey Beware, said the same thing. They have a lot of mites. But they think it has more to do with the way the season was, the later in the season it got moist, a lot of rain, and they think it was a moisture thing. But I think ours, we're starting to have trouble even before that happened. We noticed what we looked like a virus is what we called it. It looked like they were kind of sick, and the mites can do that. They give them like a virus, and so that's what we're thinking happened, but we don't know for sure.
Okay. Any other?
Phone number, email to Brad.
Can you get your email and phone number to Brad so he knows
Absolutely.
How to contact you?
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you very much, Stacy. Excuse me, is there anyone else who would like to speak?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the bike ped committee in charge of pedestrian issues. I've noticed that our experiment on tax incremental financing districts is failing. I'm concerned that there's no money in the TID district fund for street repairs and infrastructure repairs, and that's what that TID fund is supposed to be for. I've been told that there's no plans to replace the substandard West St. Joseph Street road, which has a PASER rating of 2, which is the lowest in the village of any paved road. And that's important because when a PASER rating 2 road gets repaved, at that point you get Public Works plans on putting in sidewalks if needed and if in the comprehensive plan. And that was the number one sidewalk supposed to go in the immediate future. And that sidewalk is not going to be put in. There's no plans to put a sidewalk in there, not for at least another 5 years, possibly 10 years. It's not in any budgets. And that's my understanding, and I've requested it, and it's been put in writing, that there are no plans to put in a sidewalk there. under the Americans with Disabilities Act, the new plan development district that went in with the apartments, there's supposed to be sidewalks in that PDD, and those are supposed to be accessible by handicapped people and the elderly. And we were supposed to have a wonderful Arboretum Trail, and last year that got money for design of that Arboretum Trail got redesigned to create a new downtown alleyway, which is going to spend somewhere between $1 million and $1.6 million just for moving sidewalks back 3 feet from the road. So there's a lot of money being spent on consultants and shifting money around, and the money isn't being actually reflected correctly in the budget. If you take a look at the charts, there's a chart in there that says where does your money go, and I pay attention to the TID money, and a lot of money, $400,000, is supposed to be there in TID money, and it's not, and I'd like to know where that money goes, where it comes from. It comes from the taxpayers in the village, and it's supposed to say where it's supposed to go. It's supposed to go into infrastructure, and infrastructure means roads and sidewalks. Thanks.
Hey, Jim. You can stay up there. To some extent, you're misinformed, and I'm more than happy to straighten you out on that. First of all, when you're told that there is no plan for a sidewalk, there is no design for the sidewalk at this point in time. There is a plan, and it's our intention to connect the Fox River Trail with the East River Trail along St. Joseph, to continue the work we did this spring or this summer, and also to do St. Joseph. We intend to do that. In fact, I think it's on the 2019-2020 plan. the plan is, or, and I'm, let's not get involved with semantics, but the plan is, the idea is to do that at the same time that we do Webster, because it's a logical connection. And it is our intention. It's the intention of the Public Works Department and the Village Board to put, whether it be a trail or whether it be a sidewalk, whatever it allows, we intend to put pedestrian accommodations along West St. Joseph. So if, I know you've come up a lot and said, you know, complained about that or spoke your concerns, and they're heard and they're shared. So we are going to do that. The question is, and we'll be talking about this a little later, when do we do it? But the plan is to do it sometime in the next couple of years. So does that help?
No. Okay. What you're saying is absolutely wrong. There is no plan. A plan includes a budget. This is, we have a capital improvement plan for the Public Works Department. We have capital improvement plans. It doesn't show up anywhere. I have the email from, under my open records request, I have a copy of the email from Craig to Trevor to Brad, reallocating the money that was supposed to be for the design of that to go up to Webster. That was supposed to be one of the best projects that we were going to do, and a decision was made to put it on to Webster Avenue. So my question is where is the TID money coming from, and where is the TID money being spent? There's right now we're generating a lot of TID money.
How much?
And, you're talking $300,000-$400,000 a year right now without any real improvements going on other than inflation.
And that's so, in the TID, correct? That is in the TID fund.
Yeah. So that the whether you're going to use it on developer incentives instead of infrastructure, instead of spending the money on infrastructure, which is what it's supposed to be for, you're spending it heavily on developer incentives. And it's okay to give developer incentives, but only after you take care of the roads and sidewalks. And that's what you're supposed to do.
And Jim, no one's told you that we're not going to use TID funds to do this.
Yes, you did. It's on there. I you know, you guys make fun of me with my emails and my open records requests.
Don't. But
yes, you put a gag order on me on them, so I don't like it. But the gag order is because I ask for maps and plans, and you don't like it. And all I'm asking for is, where does the TID money come from, and how is it going to be spent? It shouldn't be spent on developer incentives until you take care of the roads and the streets. Thanks.
Thank you.
Mr. President?
Yes.
I take offense at the comment about how we would be making fun of Mr. O'Rourke. I don't think that is accurate. I just want to make sure that that's clear.
Thank you. Okay, action item number 5. First amendment to the amended and restated tax incremental finance developers performance agreement between the Village of Alloway and Old Chapel Hill. To give you a quick review, as you know, there we're building the development called Old Chapel Hill at St. Joseph and Riverside Drive is in the process of being developed due to many different reasons, including labor and weather and all kinds of things. The developer is not going to be able to have the development completed in the time frame that he thought he would. So we've been having multiple meetings with the developer to figure out what works best for the village and for him, and just make sure that we end up getting a very nice development. So the changes to the developer agreement as proposed primarily are completion. The original amendment said completion of all 6 units will be done by January 2019. Or that's what this current one is, or the proposed one. Previously it was January 18. We're going to change or add guarantees of minimum tax payments by the developer for 10 years. Right now it's 9 years. So we're going to be getting an extra year of guaranteed tax income from the developer. The developer has until November 30th of 18 to have all buildings completed and occupancy permits issued, or the developer agrees to pay the village for tax years 2018, a minimum payment not less than $92,000, with payment due no later than January 31st, 2018. This is new to the agreement. There was nothing in the old agreement like that. And the developer agrees to have three buildings constructed and have occupancy permits issued by April 1st, 2018. Failure to do so will result in cash incentive payments for all remaining buildings shall be paid by the village to the developer one building behind. So we're basically paying the developer $40,000 per building and $60,000. Or it's based on the size. So we're paying them money once a building is getting its occupancy permit. And if he doesn't have the three buildings done by April, once he gets a building done, he has to get the next building done before he gets his money. That's just to make sure that it keeps moving along and that he keeps his focus on getting the project done. The project, if you've been past and if you've been into the apartments, they're very nice. The first building is full. I know he has a lot of interest in the other buildings, and the other two look to me like they can be done before April. But nonetheless, that is what we have before us to keep the project going. So, do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Harris.
Move to approve. I had one comment before to that stage.
Okay. Second by anyone?
I'd second.
Second by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? Trustee Harris.
Yes. One other thing just to make sure that everyone's aware of is the buildings that are complete prior to December 31st of 2017 will be on the tax rolls. So there is no delay or pushback or anything with regard to the buildings that are complete by the end of 2017.
Thank you.
I think that it's fair to say the negotiations went pretty well and that the village's needs and interests were strongly considered. And when I say the villages, I mean the residents of the village and the taxpayers and all that. On the other side, Mr. Garrett's doing what he can to get the buildings done. As President Rafter indicated, there are a number of circumstances in terms of materials and labor shortage and weather and all those things. So I think we're all on the same page at this point and happily getting this thing moved along. So I think it's a good agreement.
Any other discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Excuse me. Action item number six. Approve the Emerald Ash Borer Readiness Plan as a village policy document. Mr. Clark.
Good evening. Brought before the board a new urban forestry document. Worked with our urban forestry intern this summer to produce Emerald Ash Borer Readiness Plan for the community. What this plan is it's a guiding document for the village to best management practices to deal with the invasive emerald ash borer. As you recall, earlier this year, we did have a positive find of emerald ash borer in the community. And since that time, we've found other locations that are very suspect. So it's more than likely, has got some pretty decent populations, within our ash trees. What this document does is, like I said, it gives us best management practices of how to best deal with that in a cost-effective manner. And by no means is this a set-in-stone document. It's a fluid document that as different management practices or technologies or chemicals or other ways to deal with this come about, we would be able to be fluid and adjust to those. So I'd like to thank Zach Schreiner, our urban forestry intern, who he's, you know, unfortunately he's not, but did an excellent job and came to one of our Park and Rec committee meetings and did a presentation on it. Did a very good job. Some highlights from the plan, just to give the board, and I believe you all have copies, but just to give you an overview of some of the things that are in this plan. What we found from our updating of our street tree inventory this summer as well by Zach, we have almost 700 public ash trees on our streets and the parks on public grounds. It's estimated typically that you have about 10 times that many on private properties. So we could, you know, think that we might have almost 7,000 on private properties as well. So something for, you know, the board to realize that as this invasive moves through the community, the way that not only that we manage our public trees, but we'll have to potentially assist in managing, you know, woody debris, things like that, you know, our brush pickups or our yard waste drop-offs. So just some things to think about how that might affect some of the services that we currently provide or some of our budgets. So, public tree removal costs, if we were to go in and cut down every one of our public trees right now, about $240,000 it would cost us. Replanting about of all those would be about $390,000. And then if we were to use chemical treatments to try to preserve those, what we recommend is a combination of all of these types of things, but that's almost $750,000 over a 20-year period. And treatments are never guaranteed. You know, it's like when you take cough medicine or something like that. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But a lot of the other communities around have very similar plans, which is good from the perspective of, you know, if everybody in a region has similar plans or does the same types of things, it's less confusing to our residents. And we all know that invasive species don't know where municipal boundaries are, so, you know, it's very easy, and that's, you know, for them to go from Green Bay to Alloway to Bellevue and beyond. So, currently, we feel that our current urban forestry budget is adequate for us to continue to work this plan and, you know, do some of the recommendations in there. We may, because of manpowers, may need to switch some of our, you know, duties to focus more on some of the urban forestry as opposed to some of the park operations or things like that. But currently we feel that our budget would cover any of our needs. With that, any questions that anyone might have?
It looks like the ash is the second most popular tree. Mm-hmm. Next to the maple, huh?
It is. And if you went to any other community in Wisconsin, you'd find the exact same thing. Unfortunately, we didn't necessarily learn our lessons from the elms when Dutch elm disease came through. So.
Okay.
Is there any disease that affects maples?
There are. And pretty much every tree has some issue, whether it's an insect or a disease. So, yes.
Any other questions?
Well, thank you. And you're going to post it on our website, too?
I am. Yes.
There's a lot of great information in here.
There is.
When Chris sent this over, I asked him if we could do a in about 2 years, a formal update to the plan.
Yes, I will definitely keep the board aware of progressions of the Emerald Ash Borer within the community. And if we see any potential needs, whether that's, you know, additional fundings or, you know, additional assistance, that, you know, if this gets out of our control or anything like that.
Okay, we have a motion, or we can either accept the motion or we can suspend the rules. There's someone in the audience who would like to speak tonight, right? Okay. But we still have to suspend the rules.
Move to suspend the rules.
Seconded by Trustee Green. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Come on up. And please give us your name and address.
Kathy Fusick, 142 Dolphin Street. I just had a general question. Would Alloway assist with identifying a tree on private property?
Most definitely, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All you'd have to do is contact our office, and I'd be happy to come out and help you with any of that.
Okay. I mean, I understand you're not going to cut it down or anything for us, but I was just wondering if you would be able to determine whether or not a particular tree.
Sure. Yeah, definitely, and
cool.
Help you out with any questions you might have.
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. Do I have a motion to pick up the rules? Trustee Green, seconded by Trustee Atwood. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Genrich, any discussion? I would just like to, excuse me, nice job on the document, and nice job to Zach. Thank him for us. It seems like we're going the incremental approach to take care of what we need to, because right now, if I read correctly, it's about 1% of the trees are affected that we know of.
Correct. But so, as we know from history, what the population does over a relatively short time frame of within a decade, it does explode. Yeah.
So like doing some every year.
The communities that went through and cut all their trees down and tried to do this radiant, it didn't work.
So thank you for the work on this. Thanks, Zach, for us.
Mm-hmm.
Nicely done. We have a motion and a second to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 7, request for proposals for raising 1825 South Webster Avenue. Mr. Lang.
I do have a draft document in front of you. It is very much so a draft document. When I went to print it off, a lot of things changed on it, so I've got to go back through and fix some of the bugs, but no pun intended. One of the things that I certainly wanted to bring to your attention is the time frame that we're looking at, because we are dealing with a building that we don't know what might all be involved with, whether it's asbestos, whether it's we know the black mold, or we don't know any of the other uncertainties with this building. So on these, we would like to get this put into the papers as early as this week. And what we're asking is anyone that has an interest in the bidding on this removal would be required to attend a Tuesday, December 19th walkthrough of the building so that they have full understanding what is involved. And bids would not be due until January 12th of 2018, with the completion of the removal of the building by February 23rd of 2018. Picking the time of the year where, because of all the potentials, just trying to minimize dust and debris being disposed through the air, looking at doing it through the winter months. The document is rather long, but we also wanted to make sure we are covering our bases as well as those that might bid on the project. So pretty in-depth, but in the hands of our attorney to make sure everything he's comfortable with, and then we'll get this rolling as soon as possible. I know one of the questions, what do you think the cost will be? One of the things I didn't do is I did not reach out to any potential contractor because I didn't want them to have any inside track on anything, so it would just be an estimate. It's strictly a guesstimate. It could be 60, 80, it could be 40, who knows, 1,000 that is. And please keep in mind that the cost for the raising of the building does get placed upon the property owner's taxes. or hopefully we'll get reimbursed for our expenses, but the expense is borne by the village up front.
Is a property
questions?
Has a property owner voiced any more or shared any communication at all? Or
The property owner did have a representative stop and speak with the building inspector about a week ago, asking if maybe half the building could be just torn down, and I don't know how we get into that. The ruling by the judge was to raise the building.
Are the taxes current on that building?
That I'm not absolutely certain. That is something that's go to the Brown County website and just do a property search.
Okay. Brad, when you were talking about the on-site inspection, the wording you used was required. What's on the document is encouraged. Are we requiring?
It's encouraged.
Okay, I'd rather.
Thank you.
I'd rather make sure we're clear on it. And then we're the proposals have to be received by the 12th. Do we have to put anything in here about when the notification will take place or when the bids will be opened?
They'll be open on the day that they're due.
Okay, I don't know if we have to state that.
The time, and we need to add a specific time period of, say, 10 o'clock on the 18th. And buses, we'll park no later than 4 o'clock, and then we'll open on that day. So that, therefore, nothing can come in after the fact.
Okay, so it actually, we can get rid of the word postmark and just say received, right? I don't know all the process, so I'm asking.
No, thank you. So they need to be received by, and we'll probably change the 4 o'clock to maybe a earlier day, just so that we can open them and then, can go to the next village board meeting. So we can go ahead and get that approved and then we're not delaying the contractor.
Thank you. Do we have a motion? So we're being asked to approve the publication of the RFP for raising of the building.
Correct. There will be some changes to it, but for the most part, it's the time period. Thank you, Matthew, for catching that and putting the language up and be ready to get going on.
Thank you. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Moved to approve.
Seconded by Trustee Clark. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. And excuse me for coughing. Action item number 8, appointment of election inspectors. We have a list of lots of people who have volunteered to be election inspectors. If none of the folks in the audience are on that list and you'd like to be on that list, we're always looking for more. And if you know any friends who might be interested, it's a great public service, and we need as many people as we can get. So we go, for every December of every odd number of year, we go through this process. So we are being asked to approve the list of election inspectors set before you. I have a motion on this item. Trustee Genrick.
I'll move to approve the appointment of said election inspectors.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Green. Any discussion? Trustee Harris.
I'll need to recuse myself from this vote as I'm a member of the media family on the list.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion? Excuse me. We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. And seriously, folks, if you're not on the list and would like to, talk to this young lady right here. She'd be more than happy to tell you all about it. And for those of you in our listening audience, that's Debbie Bainan. Action item number 9, consent agenda. We'll take items
9A through D, unless there's an objection. Seeing none, I'll accept the motion on the consent agenda. Trustee Harris.
Move to approve.
Trustee Green, or Dart, thank you. Second by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item number 10, future agenda items. Any board members have anything you'd like to see on the future agenda?
Bees.
I had a feeling. Anything else? The bees are duly noted. Action item number 11. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Trustee. Seconded by Trustee Genrich. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. I thank you all for coming tonight. Stay warm.